Hello, friends. This is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable inviting you to stay tuned for this special Christmas season edition of Let's Talk About Jesus right here on WMAF. I know that you've just got some cold weather up there in the panhandle. It came all the way down to middle Florida here in Tampa. But we are celebrating a season that is marked with two things. A holiday is going to occur and a holy day is going to happen. And we want to be able to separate, even though they are blended and can be blended if they are balanced, the holiday from the holy day. And we want to make sure that the holiday doesn't transcend and overshadow the holy day, so that we can have the best Christmas we have ever had, because we comprehend the majesty and the magnitude of that event that occurred in the little town of Bethlehem when a baby was born like no other would ever be born before or after. Praise God. And we see both the majesty and the magnitude of the gift that God gave us in Christ when we read from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. It is the story of the three magi, or wise men, who came from the east, who brought gifts to give that indicated that through the study of the ancient scriptures and through the revelation of God's Spirit, they understood the significance of this baby and this birth. And the gifts that they gave him, the first gifts of Christmas, hallelujah, indicated their understanding. And it helps us to comprehend the real reason for the season. Hallelujah. So we want you to study it with us today. If you're not a Christian, please stay tuned and be our very, very special guest today. So that when you hear those songs of the Christian faith and about this little town of Bethlehem and this holy night and all of these songs of the faith, that you will begin to hear from the Word of God what the faith truly is. Praise God. And that you might receive the greatest gift that was ever given to mankind, the gift of God's only Son, that we might be saved. Praise God. Hallelujah. All right, if you have your Bibles, in verse 11 of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 2, it said, "And when they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh." Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. We discussed last week that gold was a gift for a king. They recognized that a king was born. In fact, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords was born in Bethlehem. Not just King of the Jews, but the King of Kings, the King of Angels, the King of the Universe, hallelujah, was born as a baby in Bethlehem. We see the biblical accuracy of the lyrics to the song, "We three kings of Orient are, bearing gifts, we travel so far." One of the stanzas says, "Born a king on Bethlehem's plain, gold I bring to crown him again. King forever, ceasing never over us all to reign." That first gift of Christmas is captured beautifully in the first stanza of "We Three Kings." And the second gift of Christmas is also captured in the second stanza, or the third stanza of that song. Frankincense was the second gift that was offered, and it speaks of his deity and priestly ministry. His deity and priestly ministry. I want to give you some understanding of this herb, frankincense. It's an herb coming from the spindly Boswellia tree of Somalia and Yemen. at the specified time, it said wood is cut and the frankincense oozes as a yellow drop, a sap like maple syrup, which is left to harden for 3 months, then are pulled off the wood. The resulting resin gives off a sweet scent when warmed or burned. So we recognize the word frankincense in its name. We understand that ancient people burned frankincense, believing it to carry their prayers to heaven. The people of Israel saw it as one of the elements used in the holy anointing oil. But frankincense, as the substance offered to God, speaks directly and distinctly of His deity. Exodus 30, verse 34 through 38 bears this out. It says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Take unto thee sweet spices." And it lists the spices, astacte and onycha and golbanum. These sweet spices with pure frankincense of each, there shall be a like weight. And thou shalt make it a perfume, a confection, after the art of the apothecary, tempered together, pure and holy. And thou shalt beat some of it very small, and put it before the testimony in the tabernacle of the congregation where I will meet with thee. And it shall be unto you most holy. And as for the perfume that ye shall make, ye shall not make to yourselves according to the composition thereof. It shall be unto thee holy for the Lord. Whoever shall make like unto that to smell thereunto shall even be cut off from his people. In other words, this mixture, including frankincense, was set apart for God and for God alone. Dr. John R. Rice said, "Frankincense was the second gift offered by the wise men to the baby Jesus. The frankincense indicates the deity of Jesus Christ. These wise men from the East, by faith and spiritual perception, recognized that Jesus, King of the Jews, was literally the Son of God, that He was God incarnate." Another scholar says, "As to frankincense, in by far the most cases in which this word occurs in the Old Testament, it is mentioned in connection with the service of God. The fragrant smoke rising heavenward was symbolic of the prayers and thanksgivings of the people. The incense was definitely an offering made exclusively to God." So by their gift, friend, of frankincense, these wise men acknowledged the deity of Christ and worshiped Him as the second person of the Trinity or the Godhead. That's why in stanza 3 of We Three Kings it says, "Frankincense to offer have I, incense owns a deity nigh, prayer and praising, voices raising, worshiping God on high." It must have taken Mary and Joseph back when the gold was offered and then the frankincense. They begin to grasp and understand what God had revealed already to these three magi or wise men. He had revealed that this baby was a baby like no other. And this immaculate conception and this Holy One born of this little virgin Jewish girl was none other than the Son of God, the second person of the Godhead, God incarnate, God in flesh. You know, the Bible said, "Thou shalt call His name Jesus." That's what the angel told Mary, "Thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He will save His people from their sins." That's what He came to accomplish. That was His mission. So thou shalt call His name Jesus, Yeshua. It is a derivative of Joshua, the old Hebrew word and name, Joshua, Joshua, the great champion of Israel who led God's people into the promised land and around the city of Jericho. And God gave them that city and those armies so that they could inherit the promised land. This great deliverer, this great leader and champion, Joshua, it means a savior, a deliverer. And Jesus was called after that Joshua, because his mission was to save us, deliver us from another kingdom that is holding souls in bondage, to literally come and tear down the gates of hell so that the prisoners held therein could be set free. All of those under Satan's influence and chains of habits and bondage could go free. He came, the Bible said, to set the captive free, to set at liberty those that are bruised. Glory be to God. He was anointed for that purpose, and he was anointed from birth to accomplish that. Hallelujah. Jesus came for that great purpose, and that's why they gave him incense. They knew this baby is like no other baby that's ever been born or will ever be born. This baby was very King and very God. And also that this baby had a mission to accomplish. By their gift of frankincense, the wise men acknowledged the deity of Jesus, and they worshiped him as such. Also, the scripture said in the new covenant that his name shall be called Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. This is what they were also acknowledging, that this was very God in human form, born as a baby in a manger in Bethlehem. And they knew it from the searching of the ancient scriptures and the revelation that God had given them. And they brought gifts that indicated their revelation knowledge of who Jesus was and what he came to accomplish. I want to say that again. Their gifts they offered him indicated that they had a clear revelation of who Jesus was and what he came to accomplish. They brought gold, because they recognized him as the sovereign King of Kings and Lord of Lords. They brought frankincense because they recognized him as being very God as well as very man. Hallelujah. And then they brought him a third gift. They brought him myrrh. They presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and the third gift in Matthew 2:11. Was myrrh. In the last stanza of the song, We Three Kings, it reads, myrrh is mine, its bitter perfume breathes a life of gathering gloom. What kind of gift is this for a newborn baby? Myrrh, the spice used in preparing a body for burial. Death is usually the furthest thing from our minds when welcoming a new child into the world. Yet somehow the Magi knew that this child of Bethlehem was destined for death. Not in the massacre of King Herod, who murdered many innocent children in trying to wipe out this threat to his rule, but death on a cross, bearing the sins of the world. Had the wise men heard the ancient words of Isaiah, he is despised, rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief? It goes on to say in Isaiah 53, that surely he bore our griefs, he carried our sorrows. He was wounded for our transgression, he was bruised for our iniquity, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him. All we like sheep have gone astray, but God has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Somehow, they understood what would happen to this child, and their understanding was confirmed when they saw the reaction of the Jerusalem leaders to the news they brought of the birth of a ruler in Israel, a new ruler, a new king. And so they came, kneeling in humility before a king, kneeling in worship before a God, and kneeling in sorrow before a Savior that would one day give His life for them. And not just for them, my dear friends, but for you and for me. Myrrh was an ingredient used for embalming dead bodies. It was also mixed with wine as an anesthetic. Myrrh is mentioned twice in connection with the death of Jesus Christ at the cross. When Jesus was dying on the cross, they gave Him to drink wine mingled with myrrh, but He received it not, in Mark's Gospel 15 and verse 23. The myrrh and wine would have dulled the pain, but Jesus refused it. The prophet Isaiah foretold the travail of His soul on the cross in Isaiah 53 and verse 11. You see, Christ's rejection of the wine and the myrrh show that He bore the full travail of pain to pay the penalty for our sins. He drank nothing that was offered Him to dull the pain, because He was going to pay in full our sin debt. And every sin that we ever committed, therefore, could be forgiven, and we could be reconciled unto God, because He stayed on the cross in all of that suffering and agony, and He refused anything to dull that suffering so that He could pay in full the sin debt. I love that old camp meeting song that says, I bought a debt I couldn't pay. It was growing every day, but Jesus paid it all for me. Praise God. Jesus paid it all for me. The myrrh and the wine could have dulled the pain, but Jesus took the pain, stayed on the cross. Make no mistake about it, dear friend. It wasn't the nails that held Him to that cross. It was His love for you and His love for me. That powerful love for fallen man, men and women who had blasphemed His name, sinned against Him. And yet, there He is, staying on the cross until the sin debt is paid in full, until God's righteous wrath is burned out on Him on the cross, until He could cry, "It is accomplished." That He came to do was finished, consummated, as He breathed out His last breath on the cross. Hallelujah. Oh, what a Savior, the songwriter writes. Oh, hallelujah. How can we not serve Him and love Him and praise Him? And this Christmas in particular, separate the holy day from the holiday. It doesn't mean we do not celebrate, but we celebrate with a clear understanding of the magnitude and the majesty of the gift that was given when Jesus was born in Bethlehem, when God gave His Son. As far as God was concerned, Jesus was already in the mind, in the purpose of God. Jesus came already destined for the cross. It wasn't something that happened after He was born. It happened the day He was born. He was headed toward an old rugged cross on top of Golgotha's hill, the hill of the skull, the hill of death. And that's why they brought Him. That is appropriate for those who are dead or dying. Praise God for Jesus saying no to the myrrh and wine that would have dulled the pain, that He might suffer and pay every bit of the sin debt. The second mention of myrrh was at Christ's burial. In that 3-day interim before he rose from the dead, when Jesus was dead, a man named Nicodemus, it said in John 19:39-40, brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100-pound weight. Then took they the body of Jesus and wound it in linen clothes with the spices, as the number of the Jews is to bury. John 19:39-40. Dr. John Rice says the myrrh pictured the sufferings of our Savior. Vicarious suffering, the innocent one, Jesus, atoning for the guilty. The innocent one, Jesus, atoning for the guilty. That's what was occurring. That's what He came to do. That's why the gift of myrrh was given to this baby on that day by those wise men who had the understanding through the study of the ancient scriptures and prophecies and through the revelation of the Spirit of God. Myrrh is mine. Its bitter perfume breathes a life of gathering gloom, sorrowing, sighing, bleeding, dying, sealed in the stone-cold tomb. We three kings of Orient are bearing gifts. We traverse afar. We're talking about the first gifts of Christmas. And the greatest gift of all is the gift of salvation that has been granted to us who would receive Christ as our Savior. The gift of God's only begotten Son to die for us on the cross. And the gift of righteousness, which is granted to us when we receive Him and repent of our sins, and our sins are forgiven. You know, the Scripture says that God will deal so absolutely, He will deal so absolutely mercifully and graciously with our sins that, as it is written, our sins are cast away from us as far as the east is from the west, and their sins will I remember no more, because Jesus paid in full the price that our sin debt had run up. Every one of us can be forgiven so completely that once we come to Christ and receive Him as our Savior, God says, I will disassociate you from that sin. I will never, from that day forward throughout all eternity, I will never associate you with the sins that are now being forgiven. Oh, friend, if you don't have on your shouting shoes, you ought to put them on. I tell you, this Christmas, we ought to celebrate a salvation and a Savior. And we ought to out-celebrate the world around us. It's not that we're not going to eat good food, that we're not going to give gifts, that we're not going to decorate. It means that we know the difference between a pagan holiday and a Christian holy day. Hallelujah. And we are not letting the holiday overshadow the holy day. Praise God. And Christmas will not end. You know what's going to happen? A lot of hungover people that are deeper in debt. And after the new is wore off and the kids' toys are scattered from one end of the house to the other, and the wrapping paper has to be picked up, and you've eaten turkey until you don't want to see one for another year. Amen. After all that is over in the celebration of the holiday, the holy day continues to produce peace and joy and power into the life of a Christian. Christmas doesn't just start in December, and it doesn't end when the 25th is over. It's something that continues to give such joy and such hope to our hearts and our lives and our families. Praise God. Hallelujah. Together, these three gifts represent the three roles of Jesus the Messiah. His kingly office is represented by gold, His divinity by frankincense, His manhood and humanity and His sacrifice on the cross by myrrh. They offered Him incense as their God, gold as their king, and myrrh as uniting a human body that would be subjected to suffering and death. How can God redeem fallen man and be justified in doing so? He took on flesh. The second person of the Godhead, God, took on flesh. Emmanuel, God with us. Therefore, God dying for us on the cross. How can God die? That body, that fleshly part of Him, could pay the sin price as a man who never sinned, offering pure blood, unblemished, untainted, that could be accepted for our sin debt. Hallelujah. The Lamb of God. Wonderful Savior. Mighty God. Everlasting Father. Prince of Peace. Hallelujah. Wonderful Counselor. These are the royal titles of Jesus. That's why this baby was like no other baby. Because as the songwriter said, I think it was Dottie Rambo who wrote about that in song, in the lyric of a song, his steps did not begin at Bethlehem, and they did not end at Calvary. Praise God. His steps did not begin at Bethlehem, and they did not end at Calvary. Hallelujah. He came from everlasting, and Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And this Christmas, oh friend, I want to celebrate the gift of Jesus Christ, who gave me the gift of salvation and the gift of righteousness, that I might be so cleansed and forgiven that He could also give me the gift of the Holy Spirit. Praise God. We're going to talk about all of these gifts as we continue toward Christmas Day. But today, if you don't know Christ as your Lord and personal Savior, I pray that you will receive the gift of Jesus, that you will repent of your sins and invite Jesus into your heart to be your Lord and your Savior. And you will know the true significance of this season, and the true significance of His coming. And that what He did and what He accomplished would not be in vain concerning you, but He would have the joy of forgiving you. You see, the Bible said, For the joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross, despising the shame. For the joy that was set before Him. What was that joy? It was the joy of all those that would be reconciled to God, that would have been lost forever and banished and punished, that now will live forever in heaven with Him, in the Father's bosom, in the Father's mansions, in the Father's glorious city, forever and forever. Come to Christ today. Open your heart to Him. Receive Him as your Lord and Savior. Repent of your sin, that your sins may be forgiven and wiped away and washed away in His precious blood. And today, if you know Jesus as your Savior, and you're being pulled into so many things, especially at Christmas, so busy, caught up in the holiday, and about to miss the holy day that it is, the holy significance. Friend of mine, if you don't find the gift of Christmas in your heart, you will never find it under a Christmas tree. Nothing anyone could ever give you or buy you can take the place of what you now have in Jesus Christ. Ah, friend, celebrate and out-celebrate the world. Celebrate the King. We love you. Come back next week. Let's talk about Jesus.